Here's one of the questions the guys had for me last week, and it's, I'm thinking about going into full-time evangelistic ministry. What would you say to me? Now, Rich and Chris, we'll start with you, Chris. Chris, have you ever contemplated that? I think we've probably talked about it before, but have you contemplated going into full-time evangelistic ministry?
Almost daily, I'll be honest with
almost
you.
Almost daily? Okay.
Almost daily.
Is that something you, when you say almost daily, is that something that continues today?
Yeah, I mean, I am grateful for the job that the Lord has given me, especially, as everybody knows, during this last year, it's allowed me to take care of my family and my wife during a difficult time. But I look at what I do as having, at best, a stopgap measure to be able to address the problems that, you know, people are dealing with. I know that the true... the one true thing that can help them is the gospel, and it is frustrating, to say the least, to be able to sit in a position where I see the evils of this world and see what they do and not be able to do it with regularity and speak to people about the truth. And so it is almost a daily desire that if God made it possible for me to do, that I would hand in my badge and say, this is what I want to pursue.
Now, Rich, you're facing all kinds of medical challenges. You are, to a certain extent, disabled, according to the definition of the term. I think you are in full-time ministry because you spend just about every waking moment doing something evangelistically, whether it's either helping me with the show or the blog, or, you know, and Chris too, when Chris isn't watching guys out of prison or putting guys back into prison, he's doing something for the radio show or for the Facebook page or for Twitter when I'm not breaking it or when I am breaking it. And I made a concerted effort over the last week to break Twitter. But Rich, you're in a sense in full-time ministry now, but do you think of yourself that way, as being in full-time ministry, or is that something you would pursue?
Well, interesting that you asked me that, because it's only been probably a few weeks ago, someone asked me a similar question, how did I like being in full-time ministry, and it never dawned on me that I was. I never set out to be in full-time ministry, and it's not something I actually planned and set out to do, but it's almost like I woke up one day and realized, well, I am in full-time ministry, and, I have some medical challenges, and there's a lot of days that I can't devote as much time to it as I would really love to, so I try to make use of the time that the Lord allows me to have each day, and I'm so thankful that He's allowing me to be a part of anything in sharing the gospel and sharing His word. But and it's been such a blessing to be able to serve the Lord in any capacity.
Amen. Now, I had no idea. Ultimately, I had no idea what your answers were going to be, but the nuances and the answers you guys gave me, I think, really is representative of the best advice I could give anybody. And so let me explain that. I get this question a lot. There are a lot of people out there who look at what I'm doing or what Mike Stockwell and Robert Gray are doing or what other guys who are full-time in open-air ministry, you know, Jeremiah Cry, Jeff Rose, Chris Sibley, people like that, Cy Ten Brun Kate with his apologetic ministry, which involves a lot of open air preaching as well and travel. And, you know, that, you know, people look at what we're doing and they kind of go, ooh, ah, that's what I want to do. Oh, how I wish I could do that. Well, folks, when you think that, and it's exciting that we would encourage you that way, but you're only seeing a small part of what's involved in being in full-time evangelistic ministry. It's kind of like when I was looking to join the sheriff's department. back in 1986, you know, while I was going through the application process and my eyes were big and wide open and I looked at the brochures, man, and I see this ninja deputy sheriff jumping out, you know, on a rope out of a Sikorsky helicopter and then, you know, this is back before I was saved and here's the deputy in shorts and a polo shirt on an ATV surrounded by all these beautiful people on the beach and then, of course there's the guy standing outside of the patrol car, you know, holding his radio in one hand, gun in the other, lights are going off, and I'm thinking, that's what I want to do. What's not in the brochure is working Men's Central Jail for the first few years of your career. They don't put that in the brochure. They don't put the fact that at the time when I was a brand new deputy, that they did a test of the air, the recirculated air in Men's Central Jail in downtown Los Angeles. They found Legionnaire's disease, and they found bacteria they could not identify. That's not going in the brochure. Missing soccer games, missing school plays, not being able to go to certain restaurants or amusement parks because you've arrested the people who work there, that's not going in the brochure. A divorce rate of 80% or higher, that's not mentioned in the brochure. The fact that 3 to 4 times the number of officers who are killed in the line of duty eat their own gun and commit suicide every year, that's not in the brochure. All the fun stuff, all the glitz, all the glamour, that's what they put in the brochure. And so when you're watching a YouTube video or you're reading a blog article or you're following, you know, a long list of tweets in Twitter and you're hearing about, you know, wow, Tony's going to this country, he's going to that country, he's going to speak in this conference, he's going to speak in that conference, that's all brochure stuff. If I wanted to recruit people to open-air ministry without caring about their souls and their families, that's all the stuff I would put in the brochure. The YouTube videos and the trips and, ooh, come with me, get arrested in London. You know, yeah, that's the stuff I would put in the brochure. But the wear and tear on the family, wondering if the giving will be such that you'll be able to have groceries for the next 2 weeks, wondering where health insurance is going to come from, wondering if the next time you're arrested you're not going to be released in 7 hours, wondering if the guy who's walking behind you has a knife or a gun and this is it, wondering if the person who just spit in your eye has AIDS. Yeah, that kind of stuff doesn't go in the brochure. That doesn't go in the brochure. Something else that doesn't go in the brochure is that there's thousands of guys like me, little tiny mom-and-pop operations vying for the attention and affection of churches around the world so that we could raise the support we need to do ministry every day. And being rejected 99.9% out of 100 times. That doesn't go in the brochure. So how do you like me now? How do you like full-time evangelistic ministry now? I think Chris has a great perspective. He has a daily desire to go. He has a daily desire to put an end to not a lucrative career, but certainly a stable one. Thanks to the sinful nature of mankind, those of us in law enforcement had job security whenever we wanted it, because the world's not getting any better, contrary to some of my friends who hold other eschatological views than I do. The world's not getting better. There are more criminals out there, and they're getting worse. They're getting uglier. They're getting more dangerous all the time, and that means you need law enforcement on the streets. Okay, you don't see major layoffs of police departments. You don't see major layoffs of prison guards the way you do at IBM or Google or Starbucks or aerospace or places like that. Why? Because no matter how much people say they hate law enforcement, they still call us when something goes bump in the night. So Chris is ready, though, to put that aside. Chris is ready to set aside the security of a job and move into the insecurity in a humanistic sense, in a physical sense, of full-time ministry because he loves serving the Lord. But he's waiting on the Lord. He's waiting on the Lord. It would be very easy for Chris to look at Christine and say, honey, I really believe God is calling me to this. We got to make this change, and we've got to make it now. And I believe Christine would say with a big lump in her throat, okay, honey, I'm with you. And he would go. But he doesn't sense the Lord opening that door yet. And he's not kicking it down without a warrant. There are no exigent circumstances out here regarding this. And so Chris is patiently waiting on the Lord. The desire of his heart is to serve him full time, but he's waiting on the Lord. So my first piece of advice to someone who is gainfully employed, who has a desire to go into full-time ministry, is don't only go by what you see in the brochure, by what you see in the ministry updates, by what you see on the blogs, by what you hear on this show, by what you see on YouTube. Don't allow yourself to be starstruck, in a sense, with all of the cool and wonderful things that full-time evangelistic ministry brings, without talking to somebody who's been there, done that, and who could tell you about the far more difficult side of life and ministry, and then wait on the Lord. And then we come to Rich. And Rich, I mean, when Rich said this, it was so great to hear this, because it was such a great truth you need to hear, and in case you missed it, he said, you know, just a few days ago, someone asked me, so what's it like to be in full-time ministry? And it dawned on him that he's in full-time ministry. Look, you may already be in full-time ministry and not know it. You may be gainfully employed like Chris. You may be at home, either retired or injured or battling health issues, or whatever the case may be, and every day of your life you wake up and you're saying, well, what can I do for the Lord today? How can I go help a brother or sister in Christ today? How can I share the gospel today? Maybe I'll go out with my cross. Maybe I'll go up and preach. Maybe I'll hand out a few tracts, you know, on my way to work. Man, I can't wait to get out with the rest of the team this weekend. You might already be in full-time ministry, but you don't know it. You don't realize it. Or you're minimizing what you're doing because you look at those of us who are called quote-unquote full-time evangelists and you think somehow you're doing less than we are when you may be doing more than we are in the context of life that God has given you. So maybe there are some of you out there who are going to sell your business, buy a small car, drive around the United States and go around the world never knowing where you're going to lay down your head, like a Mike Stockwell or a Robert Gray or a Chris Sipley and family. Maybe that's what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to be a Jeff Rose who set aside lucrative business to serve the Lord full time with five daughters and now a newborn son, trusting on the Lord to provide everything. Maybe you're going to do that. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to be content right where you are. Maybe you need to not covet the ministry of someone else if you're doing that, and be content with where the Lord has you right now and be thankful for the provision that he's giving you right now and the opportunities that he's giving you to serve when you can. And maybe you're like Rich. Maybe you're already in full-time ministry, but you don't have a full-time ministry tag or label. Maybe you're not out there raising support or praying about support. And there's different points of view when it comes to support for full-time ministry. Some of my dear brothers in the open-air community, they never ask for support. They don't express needs unless you basically hold them, you know, and give them enough like that, or a noogie, and say, tell me what you need. And there are others like me who doesn't have a problem with saying, guys, we need $1,000 by Friday, or we're not going to be able to get our paycheck. I don't have a problem doing that. I don't think it's a lack of faith to do either, and I don't think it's showing more faith than another by doing either. I think it's a conscience. It's an issue that's a matter of conscience, and to each his own in that regard. You know, but maybe you're not doing those things. Maybe you're not traveling to London or Scotland or Norway or Portland, Oregon, or places like that. But maybe you're faithfully going out in your community a couple of times a week with the cross. Maybe you're online, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google Plus, you know, exercising presuppositional apologetics and sharing the law and the gospel with lost people. You know, maybe you're going out and open-air preaching in your community. Maybe you're devoting 3, 4, 5, you know, evenings, you know, an hour or two every evening before or after dinner to get the gospel out to your community. What makes you think that's not full-time ministry? And what makes you think you need to do more to be considered a full-time minister of the gospel? There are a lot of people out there, I would hazard a guess today. There are a lot of people out there who say that they're in full-time ministry, but they're not doing as much kingdom work as people who are doing what they can before or after work Monday through Friday, or on the weekends when they have a day off. So, all that to say, I think you need to seek counsel of the godly people around you who know you very well. Yeah, go to the people who know you the best. And hopefully that's your pastor and your elders. People who really know what your temperament's like. Because you're not who you really are on Facebook or Twitter or in the Cross Encounters Radio chat room. Please don't delude yourself by thinking that we all talk and write and put the smiley emoticons, you know, when we're talking to people face to face, the way we do when we're on Twitter or Facebook or in a radio show chat room. Yeah, we get to know people, but we really don't know you the way people who actually see you from day to day, week to week. Go to those people whom you trust and say, my heart is burdened to do this. What do you think? Am I the type of person who could set out, who has the character, the maturity, the spiritual maturity to set out and do something like this? What do you think, Pastor? And listen to the counsel. And don't just go to people who are going to automatically agree with you. That was one of the very important things about the book I'm writing on women open-air preaching, is that I had people reviewing the book that I knew would not be afraid to say, Tony, you're a knucklehead. And two of the guys who are with me tonight, Rich and Chris, are part of that peer review team because they're not afraid to say, Tony, you're a knucklehead. If last week's show doesn't show you that, I don't know what will. So seek godly counsel from people who know you and from people who are willing to tell you no. And then examine your own heart to see if this desire to go into full-time ministry is really something that the Spirit of God is moving in you, or is it an issue of coveting? Is it an idolatrous issue where you just want something that you perceive someone else has? If that's the case, repent and be content where you're at. And then lastly, don't minimize what the Lord has you doing now. The Lord has you where He wants you now. And if that means you have to work 40 to 60 hours a week because God has called you in a particular profession because that's how God wants you to minister and take care of your family. And then you're getting out on the streets as often as you can, or you're witnessing online. Don't for a second sin against God by thinking you're somehow less of an evangelist, less of a servant of God than men who are out there doing it as a full-time ministry. Don't minimize, don't sin against God by minimizing the will he has for your life right now because of where he has you. Be content there too. And serve him with gladness to the extent that you're able. And if the burden of your heart is to leave this particular job or leave this career or leave this education path and go out and serve him full time, then wait on the Lord. And he will make that known to you. He will open those doors for you if that's what he wants you to do. The biggest mistake you can make is by kicking a door open when you have no warrant to go inside. Don't force the door open and say, oh, this is of the Lord, when it's really just your own desire, your own flesh, dressing it up as something spiritual. So, I hope this has maybe encouraged some of you to pursue full-time ministry, and I hope it served to talk some of you out of it. Because that, it's not for everybody. If you knew a tenth of what my family and I have the Lord has allowed us to go through over the last 14 years of full-time ministry, you would think, oh, wow, that what Tony does really isn't that glamorous after all. I'm not complaining about it. God has used every moment to groom me, to mature me, to prepare me and my family as well for where he has us right now, and we're content. We're content where the Lord has us at this moment. And so I would encourage you to be content with wherever the Lord has you. Pray big, trust big. Know that God is more than able to give us far and above anything we could ever ask or think. And he may be doing that for you right now, and you just don't realize it. So keep those things in mind. Weigh them against Scripture. Chew on the meat. Spit out the bones.